Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful. We had planned to be in Sunnyside this morning, and a variety of circumstances, we ended up in Seattle. So it's wonderful to be here and to have this Christmas service here today. Let us go deep within, realizing that in spirit we are all one, we are all connected. And that through time and space, all these former limitations fall away when we view life from a spiritual perspective. When we see that there is one divine life that permeates all throughout all time, in every part of what we call space. For in spirit, these things do not present barriers. We don't feel that we are separated at all. When we rise up in spirit, we feel our union with all things, all people, all places. And it's not just feeling a oneness with everything, but a spiritual oneness, and in that we feel a deep and abiding sense of peace, joy, light, and wisdom. This is the Christ consciousness. It is the firstborn of every creature. Jesus said, "Lo, when there are two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst." And this is the truth. It is even the truth when there is one gathered in his name. For there is no other than the one. Jesus is a manifestation of that tremendous Christ consciousness that was the same in the beginning, that is the carpenter of this universe. The true birth of the Christ comes about when Jesus is born within your own heart, within your own consciousness, within your own spirit. This has been the same in the beginning and will always be the same, now and forevermore. Will you please pray with me? O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, beloved Jesus Christ, blessed Master, dearest Mother, saints and sages of all religions, I bow to all of you. Free my life from all obstacles, and give me physical, mental, and spiritual development. Make my mind thy temple. Make my heart thy altar. Make my love thy home. Be thou the only King, reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Of course, get sent things at different times, and this is entitled Angels Explained by Children. And this is from Daniel, age 9. Angels talk all the way while they're flying up to heaven. The main subject is where you went wrong before you got dead. This comes from Matthew, age 9. It's not easy to become an angel. First you die. Then you go to heaven. Then there's still the flight training to go through. And then you got to agree to wear those angel clothes. This comes from Olive, age 9. Everybody's got it all wrong. Angels don't wear halos anymore. I forget why, but scientists are working on it. And Gregory, age 5, says, I only know the names of two angels. One is Hark and the other is Harold. And Henry, age 8, says, my guardian angel helps me with math, but he's not much good for science. And Reagan, age 10, says, when angels get mad, he takes a deep breath and counts to 10. And when he lets his breath out, somewhere there's a tornado. And Sarah, age 6, angels have a lot to do and they keep very busy. If you lose a tooth, an angel comes in through your window and leaves money under your pillow. Then, when it gets cold, angels go north for the winter. And Jared, age 8, angels live in cloud houses made by God and his son, who's a very good carpenter. out of the mouth of babes. Huh? This is a message from, a Christmas message from then Swami Yogananda, 1935. In the silence of my soul, I cry, Divine Mother, manifest thyself as Christ consciousness to all men. Divine Mother, take complete possession of our lives. Divine Christ, forget us not, though we forget thee. Remember us, though we remember thee not. Be not indifferent to us, though we are indifferent to thee. May thy love shine forever on the sanctuary of our devotion, and may we be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. The happiness which God gives is greater than anything the world can offer. Divine joy is enduring, eternal. When everything else melts away, that joy remains. If you would experience this joy, spend more of your time in solitude. Remember, the only real happiness is in communing with God in meditation. Although you meditate 2 or 3 hours at night and then sing and talk to Him, at first you will find no response. Then, suddenly, a light will appear. Suddenly, a fragrance will come. This is the way God manifests Himself to man. But it requires great persistence on your part. Separate yourself from your thoughts and emotions. Keep a secret room in your soul for Christ. And when you retire there to meditate deeply, you will find great happiness. The whole ocean of joy rolls beneath the little wave of your consciousness. Do not be satisfied with a little silence. Go on endlessly. It requires a relentless pursuit of day and night meditation to get results. Just behind your eyes, just behind your thoughts, just behind your feelings is God. When you are calm, the whole universe of happiness rocks beneath your consciousness. The whole universe talks to you. That is God talking to you. Absence of physical light is darkness. But spiritual light shines everywhere, even in the darkness. Behind physical darkness is light. When in meditation you pierce the darkness, you behold the spiritual eye. It is behind these clouds of darkness, with closed eyes, that Christ is perceived. Through the spiritual eye you can come into the sphere of awakened silence. Prepare your mind. And meditate until your entire consciousness passes through the telescopic eye and beholds Christ's consciousness now. Christ must be reborn in your consciousness. First, you must perceive Him in spirit, and then you will be able to see Him in the body. Meditate so deeply and so strongly today that you feel Him and know that He is real and not just mere imagination. Christ is real. He must come to you, that you will attain this happiness, this unending joy in Christ is my Christmas wish for you. If you want real emancipation, do not waste your time. If you want to be prince of the world and conquer fear, disease, suffering, and death, do not go to bed until you make the contact with God. Do not go to sleep until you feel that He is with you. If you will do this every day, you will see such happiness come into your life that it goes beyond all understanding. You must make the effort, but the effort will be worthwhile. Follow the way of the Christ and do not give up. Your most important engagement is with God, and in the way you meet Him is through persistent meditation. Prepare your cradle for the Christ child now. May God bless you with the gift of Christ in your consciousness this holy Christmas day. With deepest blessings, Swami Yogananda. Isn't that beautiful? Master, of course, was such a natural poet. And it comes through his words. But more than a poet, his mind was merged in that universal Christ nature. He once described how Christ came to him, and he looked into his eyes, and the eyes were of fathomless nature, filled with such deep peace. And out of the Christ's mouth came a chalice, and it came into Yogananda's own lips, and then returned back to the Christ. And the Christ said to him, "We drink from the same chalice." Christ did not come in order to say, "I am the one and only," in a human sense, but rather that we might all drink out of that same chalice. Now, to some, this will sound like heresy, because there is an embedded faith, and it has been taught down through many thousands of years now, that there was one special one. And we can say, in truth, that Jesus, the incarnation of that Christ consciousness, was very special. He was an avatar. He was born a son of God. He had attained that oneness with the infinite already before taking birth as Jesus. He came as a perfected one. And it is rare that such perfected ones come into this earth, but they do. Jesus was not the only one in that sense either, but you can take nothing away from what a tremendous event this is for the world when it happens. So we can feel that Jesus is very, very special in this sense. And we can also feel that we have a very sacred and close connection with that incarnation of God. Because Jesus had merged his little self into the divine self. There was the Son of Man. And the Son of Man died, and what was awakened, what was born, was the Son of God. Those teachings have reverberated down through time. The archetype is there. Most people see that archetype as for someone else, someone who lived 2,000 years ago. But the archetype is a true one. And it is for each one of us that we might embrace our own Christ self, our own Christ consciousness. This is the most wonderful teaching. Now, a birth comes as something that is subtle, something that is sacred, something that has some tenderness, and is also something that is fragile. A birth can be destroyed. An individual who is born into this world comes in a very helpless state, and human beings, above all other in nature, comes in this helpless state, requires a longer period in order to develop its full strength. Now, Christ consciousness, when it is born in you, also comes as something that is sacred, something that is also fragile. Christ consciousness itself is not fragile. But Christ consciousness requires a receptive consciousness in you in order to be completely and fully born. There are many stillborn Christ consciousness in this world. One feels the call of that Christ consciousness. One feels the quickening. Perhaps some experience comes along, some initiation, some baptism. Something comes along that requires an upliftment in the consciousness, and you feel a truth beyond your own individuality. And it comes as a calling. It comes as a birth within you. And the thing is do you and can you respond to it? Now, along with that birth comes also Herod. Now, Herod represents the temporal power of the day. He also represents lusts and passions. And he represents everything of the outward nature of life. And he wishes to sweep aside the Christ nature because he recognizes, as the human ego, that when the Christ nature fully asserts itself, the human ego will not get to do all the things it likes to do or wishes to do. The human ego thinks that by having its own little individual free will, that it has freedom. What it doesn't fully recognize is that when we exercise our free will as human beings, we create a prison for ourselves because we begin to jealously guard that individual freedom. It is not attuned to the divine consciousness. And isn't it true that when we are feeling that way and thinking that way, we think that we have our freedom? But slowly and slowly and slowly, our freedoms, in a human sense, begin to get fewer and fewer and fewer. Habit begins to take over. Desire nature begins to rule. And we find that we have less and less freedom instead of more and more freedom. And this is the truth of anything that presents itself in a human sense. It promises a lot and delivers little of it and eventually nothing of it. Jesus described this picturesquely as the devil who is a liar and a thief from the very beginning. It is a liar because it promises happiness. It promises freedom. It promises everything that we wish to have in a human sense. And it delivers, it's a thief, because it steals away our life energy, our mind, our will. It saps it all away until there is little left of it. Look at the drug addict, the alcoholic, the sexaholic, all those who are driven by the senses. It promises so much, and it delivers nothing in the final assessment. Divine nature, on the other hand, requires a commitment, requires that we set aside the time, requires a discipline in order to set our minds upon God alone. And there seems to be so much in terms of effort. I recall so clearly those years that I spent when being called and taking on the spiritual path and the spiritual sadhana. And in particular, around Christmas times, what a lonely time that was for me. To some extent, it was a lonely time in a human sense, but to a larger extent, it was my yearning and crying for God, wanting more of God, and feeling that all the rest of the world was rejoicing in the season, and other people seemed to have what made them happy. But inside I felt a tremendous loneliness. And in truth, it was a yearning for this Christ nature. And there seems to be something about this time of year, the approach to the solstice, that is a very intense time. This particular year we have seen many people with different afflictions, some of them physical, some of them mental, some of them spiritual. And they have really been very intense this year. It seems to me to be more intense this year than at other times. And there's great testing that comes along with this because it challenges our faith in the divine. Do we stick with it or do we go with the fears and the desire nature of the outer life? In truth, these things are always with us, but there are times when they seem to present themselves in a stronger and more vigorous fashion than at other times. And so as I was saying, I remember in past years that it was a real trial time. I didn't experience it so much as a temptation to go away from God, but my heart yearned so much for that divine union, the promise that the Christ brought. And it was only through deepened prayer and meditation and continued perseverance on the spiritual path that it gradually, much slower than I would have wished, began to awaken inside of me. But that came after many heartaches, many tests, many difficulties along the path. All of us are engaged in the same spiritual path, and we find ourselves in different stages of the path. As that Christ consciousness begins to awaken in you, you feel the divine nature stirring now inside of you. You feel the reality of the experience. You feel the peace. You feel the joy. You feel the bliss, the light, the upliftment. The star is now shining brightly within you. And this star is a reality. It's not just a figurative metaphor of speech. At first you see it at the ajna, the third eye point, and you see it as a brilliant five-pointed star. And it glows and it is bright in the night sky. The night sky is when you close these two eyes and you see darkness. But gradually the light of this star begins to glow within you. And then your whole cranial area is filled with this pearl-like light that is shining. And no longer is it just simply shining from a distance, but now it's radiating through your cranial area itself. The thousand-petal lotus that is within your brain, the Sahasrara, is now glowing with that light, radiating that light. You feel yourself filled with the divine joy and bliss that is radiating throughout yourself. And you know that it goes out to all this world as a blessing. There's nothing of the ego that's involved with that. You just simply are witness to it. You see it. You feel it. All the darkened parts of your consciousness, all the darkened parts of your body are now glowing with that divine light. Now you are not only seeing the light and feeling the light, but you become the light itself. Therefore, you are able to say, as Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. In the beginning, we can say this as an affirmation. And we intuitively feel that it is true. But there are also parts of us that don't believe it, don't see it, don't know it. And it's not until we grow in our realization that we get it through every level of our being, every level of the mind. Now, this is a long, lonely path in a way, but it is such a tremendous thing to enter onto. It promises much, and it delivers. Believe me, it delivers. The truth of it reveals itself to your consciousness. Now, the birth is just the beginning, and as I say, it is fragile. It can be destroyed. That Christ seed within your consciousness and within your body can be destroyed. And it has been quite something in my own life as a devotee to see those who have risen up high, been filled with the divine consciousness, and then they've been swept away by the currents of their karma. They've gone with their own desire nature. They've gone because their fears have predominated over their aspiration for the divine. They don't always see it that way. Many times they see themselves as following God's direction. That's what they'll say. but you can see it, you can know it, that they are giving way to something else. It's not God's direction. It's the direction of the ego. Now, how can we be sure whether we're following God's direction or whether we're feeling something that's taking us further away from God? And it is difficult to tell. There are times, and Jesus said it, there are many false prophets that come. This is very definitely true inside of you. There are those inner prompting, there are those inner voices that will take you in the wrong direction. But you can always tell a tree by the quality of its fruit. And while your spiritual journey is not always easy and it provides difficulty, it does gradually unfold your divine nature. It makes you feel closer to God, even though you may go through dark valleys and difficult times. But the ego nature, if that is what the voice is that's whispering inside of you, will begin to take you away from that divine nature. You'll lose any kind of feeling of kindred spirit with your own divine nature. You'll start to turn away from it. You'll start to turn towards the things of the world. They'll start to take increasing amount of importance to you. You won't be meditating anymore. You won't be diving deep into your own spiritual nature. You'll be staying on the surface of things. You'll become polarized to the saints and to the different realized masters. You won't feel drawn to them. You'll feel pushing away from them. You won't be in humility anymore. And humility, you'll feel an inner surrender. You'll feel an inner submission. And now you'll stand proudly separate and apart from. And you'll take that as your own divine nature. It is not so. This is the human ego nature that it's asserted itself. In Revelations, it talks about the dragon that emerges from the sea. It's got 10 heads and 7 crowns, and it's trying to put itself back on the throne. This is the ego nature after it's been subdued. It tries to assert itself once again. Now, these are real experiences that come to us on the spiritual path. They don't announce themselves. They don't come with grand music as if you're watching a movie and suddenly it's very obvious who the good guys and who the bad guys are. These things come as qualities of your own mind, of your own desire nature, of your own life. It'll feel very serious and very real to you. And so these temptations are things that we have to look for in the sense that we have to be prepared for them. Now, sincerity is your greatest asset. When you are sincere on the path, it will begin to show and reveal to you when you are not surrendering to the divine nature, when your thoughts are beginning to wander away from it, and you can think of everything and everyone else except for God. When you feel yourself repulsed from things that are spiritual, you know that you are under a severe test. And when you know that, you turn your mind back to God. It is like a compass that always points north, no matter how shooken up you get, no matter how many diverse ways you may go, your compass always comes back. It always points towards the divine, always points north. And in this way, you take step by step by step, and you come into that divine kingdom, that kingdom of heaven that is born within you. Jesus said, there will be many who will say, lo, it is over here, and lo, it is over there. They point to the skies as if it is up in the sky in a material sense. It's an interesting quote from the first Russian cosmonaut, who blasted up out of the Earth's atmosphere. And he said over the broadcast system, he says, well, I don't see God up here. Isn't that a funny thing? You've been taught that there is no God. And he got up there and he just saw empty space. And one of the American astronauts, he got up there and he said, the Russian had said, God is nowhere here. And the American Lovell, he said, God, I see God everywhere here. Isn't that wonderful? I see God everywhere here. You look out on the stars, you look out onto the planets, you look out onto the moon, the sun, everywhere. You see divine nature. You look down upon the earth. You see its blue oceans, its green forests, its snow-capped mountains. And you see the divine nature in everything, wherever you look. This is the most beautiful, incredible creation that we see amongst us and all around us. There are those who see nothing but problems when they look out through these two eyes. They see disappointment, and they guard themselves from that disappointment by taking on a critical attitude towards this world. They don't see the good. They don't see the beautiful. They don't see how people are helping each other. They just see the disasters. They just see the examples of when people are cruel to each other. But I can tell you that this world could not function at all if people were not basically good, and that the vast majority of people were not functioning as good. Now, it doesn't mean that they're good all the time and in all places. Of course, they're not. But the vast majority of people want to do good. They want to love their family. They want to do well by their community and by the people who depend upon them. They want good lives. They want happiness. Now, when we are all attuned to that, then we will see this world functioning to its fullest capacity, and we are working towards that end. We want to see that born within all the world. But this doesn't come about just through doing human agency of good, because that's not sufficient. It's not transcendent to all circumstances, places, and time. In order to really attain to good, we have to attain to God. We cannot separate the two. Some of the greatest crimes we've seen in mankind have been done when God is thrown out completely. Now, we can also look at and point to times when churches and organizations that are designed to serve God have betrayed their purpose. Jesus came as a great reformer in his own time, for the church, for the temple within Jerusalem, for the things that were done that were not in harmony with truth and God's higher laws. And he was very critical, and he tried to reform. He pointed out the errors. And he was amazed that those who were in charge of truth, who were in charge of knowledge of God, did not recognize the voice of truth and the voice of God that came through him. For you see, it was not an arrogant, egotistical individual in the form of Jesus who said, I know the truth better than all these others. But he knew God's voice. He knew that vibration. He knew the truth when he heard it, when he felt it inside of him. And isn't this true for all of us, that if we hear the truth in another individual, then we will recognize it? Kate, who came back from the ashram, gave me a little magazine. And it's by a Swami there, a Swami Omkar. And I recognize the wonderful truths that he was writing about here. So I think that this is a transcription of a talk that he gave here. And so I thought I'd read you a portion of it. This is by Swami Omkar. Now, coming to the practical side, all of you have heard of Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. You surely have read or heard of the mantra. Whenever I am worried or talk too much, or in traveling, one repetition of this mantra, Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, gives me a new birth, a true birth. Now, why I'm telling you my own personal experience is so that it will help you, not to glorify myself. My only prayer is not for name and fame, but that I may be unknown, that I may be alone with God, glorifying Him in silence. When I repeat Sri Ram, my whole body is filled with, from the top of the head of the body to the toes with Jai Ram. The whole world is filled. After I have filled myself, how can I keep it to myself? I want to share it with all the world, and with Jai Ram, all the past, present, and future is filled and covered. So then everything is filled and surrounded with this one mantra. This one mantra is enough for your peace, or world peace. But I still want to give out two more thoughts. But why should I disturb you after this wonderful mantra has been given? Because there is some voice in me, the inner voice, which says, you may close your eyes tonight. You should share everything you have. You do not know if you will open your eyes again. So the second thing I want to share with you is the following inspiring mantra. Tukaram was a great musician. It seems that he was on a tour and was coming to some remote place. So a devotee told his wife that he wanted to go to the bhajan of Tukaram. But the wife said, here is our baby. It is very sick. It might die. You can't go. But the husband said, Tukaram may never come this way again. I must go. So he went to the bhajan, and there were thousands of people there, 5,000 or more, and they were all singing Jai Jai Rama Krishna Hari Om, filled with ecstasy, with eyes closed. Then the wife came with the dead baby. It had died. And she placed it before the husband. She said, see what your bhajan of Tukaram has done. But Tukaram didn't see or hear any of the thousands of people, for they were all singing Jai Jai Rama Krishna Hari Om, filled with ecstasy, dead to the outer world. So great was the ecstasy and inspiration, so full of the presence of God with the singing of Jai Jai Ram Krishna Hari Om, that the baby, the dead child, came to life and started singing and clapping his hands. Now, coming to the practical side, this is personal, but nothing here can be personal, for you are all part and parcel of myself. Thus I want to pour out everything to you. Jai Jai Ram Krishna Hari Om. For the first Jai, I let it cover my left leg. And with the second Jai, all my right leg. With Rama, I feel my left shoulder and all the left side. And with Krishna, all my right shoulder and fill my right side of my body. With Hari, I let it out at the top of my head in the Sahasrara and go to the very toes. With Om, I fill up the body from the toes to the Sahasrara again. This is all very easy to say, devoted friends, but very hard to do. After filling the body, this is not enough. For how can we contain the finite within the infinite? How can we keep Jai Jai Rama Krishna Hari Om contained within only this small self, this finite body? We want to pour out everything. Thus, let there be Jai in the east, Jai in the west, Rama and Krishna in the north and the south, and Hari from the heights of all the heavens to deep below, and Om from those very depths to the heavens again. Thus, since I have to live in a world of my own, I ask all the flowers, trees, birds, stars in the sky, and even the Ramis who follow me like shadows, to repeat, Jai Jai Rama Krishna Hari Om. And you will be surprised to hear that they all join me in repeating the holy mantra. Third is peace prayer. One barrister, a devotee of the ashram, came from Calcutta. He said, Swamiji, I do not need to say the whole peace prayer. Just the two words, adorable presence, are enough for my peace. Thus, he has been my guru. And now to say adorable presence, adorable presence, adorable presence, and cover myself first with one word adorable, the whole world with the other world presence. It does all people good to say the whole of the peace prayer. However, it gives a foundation, a basis in spiritual life. With the word adorable, one fills the whole body from the toes to the top of the head, the Sahasrara, with the presence. One can go from the Sahasrara to all the world and all around. Thou who art within, we can feel that God is nowhere else but verily within, without, that He is outside of us as well, above and below, to feel His presence far above and below, beyond the toes even, for deep below does God extend, and all around where God is. There is no place where God is not, for He is all around. Thou art interpenetrating the very cells of our beings. With this, let the very cells of the body, to the very core, be filled with light, with God's omnipresence. Let us feel His presence interpenetrating our bodies until verily there is no more body. Thou who art the eye of our eyes, here let us go to each part of the body and know it is God. So who is it that is seeing? What is seen? And what is the very eye itself? Then the ears of our ears. What is it that hears? And what is it that is heard? Verily it is all God, heart of our hearts. All of our feeling, all of our love, all flows from this heart. And what is the heart of our hearts? None other than the adorable presence God. Mind of our minds, so that the mind thinks. But what is it that thinks, and who is thinking? Thus we must seek, dear friends, the mind of our minds, which is within, the breath of our breaths. Now we go even deeper to the soham, breath, and follow to its source. Life of our lives, we go beyond our bodies to the higher state, the soul of our souls, even higher state to which words cannot express. Everything here, having eyes, see you not? Bless us, dear God. Bless us, dear God. Not with good of the world, but with the divine presence, to be aware of thy presence, now and here. For let us not put off God till the distant future, but he is here, right now. It remains only with us to realize Him. May all be aware of Thy presence. Now we pass beyond ourselves and extend the prayer to all beings, in the east and the west, in the north and the south, for Thou art here. And in all directions of space, may peace and goodwill abide among individuals as well as communities and nations. Let our prayer be for the peace and goodwill of all, as individuals and as societies. Let us make no distinctions. Let none of us be excluded. Let us pray for the peace of all. This is our earnest prayer. May peace be unto all. Now how can the one who has uttered such words not be attuned to Christ's consciousness? Is this not the fulfillment, the manifestation of that wonderful Christ consciousness, to have that universal vision, to fill the body, the mind, the being, and in fact the whole universe with that divine presence? And verily, you are that. Let us not let one year follow another without realizing that divine presence. Let us dive deep into the divine consciousness so that we might know the truth, and that truth shall set us free. May you have a blessed, blessed, blessed Christmas season time. I am not so much focused on a particular day, but on the birth of this Christ consciousness within and without. This is the truth. This is what Jesus came to awaken in one and all. Be not satisfied with just a little. Do not go to the ocean with a cup in order to take a small cup of the ocean, or even a large container. The largest container you could find is not sufficient. Dive into the ocean, dive in deep, and become absorbed into that ocean. Let it absorb your being. Be unafraid, trusting and knowing that God will do what is highest and best for you now and always. This is the most incredible life. It is the most important life. It is the fulfillment of many, many lives that you have lived. It is the fulfillment of your being. And if you let this moment pass, if you let this life pass without really striving and attaining what you have come to do, you will feel such disappointment. You will not feel the judgment of others or of God. You will feel your own judgment. Let your heart soar and let your spirit go into the omnipresence of the divine. It is what you have come to do. Settle for nothing less. And now, if you will, repeat after me this peace prayer. Adorable presence, thou who art within and without, above and below, and all around, thou who art interpenetrating, the very cells of our being, thou art who are the eyes of our eyes, the ear of our ears, the heart of our hearts, the mind of our minds, the breath of our breaths, the life of our lives, and the soul of our souls. Bless us, dear God, to be aware of thy presence now and here. This is all that we ask of thee. May all be aware of thy presence. In the east and in the west, and the north and the south, may peace and goodwill abide among individuals, as well as in community and nations. This is our earnest prayer. May peace be unto all. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
With all love and goodwill, have a blessed, wonderful Christmas season. Know the awakened Christ within you. Let it be born eternally within your nature. Guard it as carefully as the angels who guarded that night the birth of the Christ. Let no lower nature devour it. Let yourself soar in the eternal heavens that is your inheritance, that is naturally yours. My heart overflows with love and joy. I hear the spheres singing in a mighty vibration of peace and love. Verily, there is nowhere that I can turn my inner eye that I do not see the divine presence. My prayer is that you be filled with that presence and that it reveal to you its glories one after another. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Victory to God, victory to the light.